You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Hello and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. Man, Saturdays are awesome. I don't even know how to handle Saturdays sometimes. And this is going to be a recorded show because we're, you know, Shell T and I have got prior commitments. And I missed a Saturday. And, you know, Shell, I actually got a text message on, actually it was a Facebook comment and message from one of our listeners, Michelle Walker Wade, and she was like, hey, no show today? And, you know, there's times, in my life, that I can kind of take things for granted, or I just think that maybe there's just nobody listening, or maybe we're not really making a difference out there. And I know the word had come a few weeks ago when I posted on social media, when the Lord was just reminding me that it's tough sometimes to see if you're making an impact when life is still making an impact on you, or life is still impacting you. And for me, I suffer from that, where things that I do, I kind of discount it and just play it off like, oh, it's no big deal. But it does make a difference. And we do make differences every moment of every day, whether or not we even believe anyone is watching or anyone even cares. And so today's show, we're going to do some little, it's different for me because I'm so not used to talking about me. I'm so used to talking about other people. I like the Steve Harvey philosophy, you know, where I bring you out. I do a great intro for you. I'll bring you out. I, you know, set the table for someone else, you know, but Shelty's, you know, she's on the phone.
Let's do your own horn.
Ah, see, that's just so not me. But, you know, the topic for today and Shelty, my life coach, Sherilyn Payton, she was right. She told me for this year I need to work on being agreeable. And I always thought, Cheryl, that I was agreeable to, you know, everything. But I just don't seem to be agreeable to me. And that's probably a caregiver's thing. A person who likes to support other people, a servant heart thing. So about last night, that's the topic. Last night. So how do we say it, Cheryl? So last night I was able to attend and had 15 other people that are close to me and that I love that are in my life. Now that's not, you know, the total number of people, but that was a core of people that I surround myself with. And the two even surprised me. Cheryl, I still, you know, y'all still on my hit list for that, so.
Two people flew out from Texas to come and be a part of last night, be about last night. Oh, my gosh. Phenomenal. I'm so excited. But, yeah, there's a priceless moment that we got to share because it's such a pivotal moment to me in regards to the manifestation of God's promise. And so about last night. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I was awarded one of the few fathers for, well, okay, I was awarded from the Fathers and Families Coalition of America. I was honored to be the recipient of a Father of the Year award, and I'm like, wow! And it's funny to even say it. It's even hard to even say it. I'm sitting here with my hands still rubbing on the plaque they gave me. I'm like, wow! And it's really real. It's really sitting here because some of the days when you get something like that, or someone bestows an honor on you that you don't expect. When I never expect anything but like a bill, right? or somebody else claiming, Dad, I want something, which is really a bill in itself. Or I got to go somewhere, which is going to cost me a bill, whether it's gas or whatever. But to win an award like that, that was like amazing amongst the people who got awards. I mean, you know, a state senator won an award. You had couples for a couple awards. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. won a couples award. Ray Parker Jr. Paris and Escobedo from the Sheila Ian Escobedo family. It's that whole Carlos Santana, you know, family of products.
Right.
And Shelty, you were going to say?
I was going to say, and there was a basketball player also.
Oh, Matt Barnes.
Who won the award. Yeah. Matt Barnes.
Yeah, he got a Father of the
Father
Year.
Father of the Year.
Yeah. And,
yes.
And for those, you know, it's funny. People may have heard about Matt Barnes from some of the recent, you know, more, I don't know what you call it, expletive sides of his
debacles.
Life. Yeah, yeah, you know, some off-the-court antics. But, you know, even if he was ever to listen to this, that doesn't take anything from the game he played or him being a father, because it's just as easy to say that he was reacting out of a father's protection for his son, because he made mention of that over the mic at his remarks after receiving the award that he just recently received custody, full custody of his twins.
Right.
And those were the children that were involved in that public issue in 2018. So it's easy to really knock a person for what you hear in the media, but when you really don't know the background, and I don't know the background, but I can kind of go, he won this award for being Father of the Year just because he rose up and showed some anger and some life about what he didn't like a situation being, doesn't mean he's a bad person. Because that's so often we think as parents, we show some passion, some ferocity, then we're bad people, right?
Yeah, and I punch kids, so I look real horrible.
Well, you didn't punch anybody last night, so, and I was
clear. No, my kids weren't there. I was free. I'm good with not punching other people's kids, as long as their parents are there. I could just be like, go to your mama.
I am.
But yeah, you could kind of tell from his story that there's been some parental alienation and things like that that's been involved, which I could tell because I've lived the story personally through Joe and his son and his son's mother. And so, like I said, there's a system that's not created for the father in any way, shape, or form. So that frustration is real when you want to be a dad, but I have a documentary or a film that I'm putting together called Deadbeat by Design.
Wow.
And so I could really relate to what he was saying. Even though he didn't say much, it was clear what was being said.
Well, the cool thing I enjoyed was that when he had shared the fact that he retired from the game early. Now, he already played 14 seasons, and he's a young man. I mean, I remember him playing at UCLA, and I remember watching him play. And even we saw him last night. He didn't seem to have that walking with a basketball player's limp back and knee problem. He still seemed like he was, you know, still able to move freely. You know, he had his, you know, his tailor fit capris on and looking very, you know, Metro Match Barnish. You know, he was fly, you know.
Right.
He didn't have that, you know, that
ankle sore.
No.
I could barely stand up. No, the game been wore me out.
That Bill Walton limp. No. Back all jacked up. You know.
Briskly moving through the room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could take you to the court right now.
Exactly.
But I chose not to.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to go to the court with nobody, because I know I have my own shoulder problems that I'm still rubbing right now. It took me some 1,000 milligrams of Tylenol before I even got on air with you today, because I'm going, doggone, Lord, I'm hurting. And I was hurting during the thing last night. But, you know, even when you look at things like that, winning awards, I think I was sharing on my Instagram and Facebook post that, sure, I had never won, I don't think I won a cakewalk on a bake sale. And, you know what I'm saying? But to win something like this, it really makes things different. And the gentleman that was sitting next to you at the table, Darius Riggins, I've known that young man since we both were 12. And so that's like 37 years. And so, I mean, I hate to put you know, his age on like that because he's older than me. You know,
it's 12 plus 37.
But he had actually tried to work it out where he was going to be the person introducing me. But the Lord works all things out for good. And when Dr. Rodriguez introduced me, I tell you, it was hard to speak when I got to the podium. Because I had to take some time to really reflect on what happened. And when I got home, because I didn't know what I was going to say when I walked on the podium. I had no idea. I didn't know we were supposed to speak. I was not giving any advanced, you know, heads up. And so when you hear your life spoken about publicly, it takes on a whole different view to me.
Right.
Versus I'm in the foxhole trying to maintain cover, trying to fire back, trying to survive the fight, that I don't think about what we'd been through. And when you hear it, oh my God, that was tough.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as he's that's what was so beautiful to me, was that the Holy Spirit was clearly in that place, because what he spoke about, I actually have it recorded, when he talked about the process and the journey and the seventh year of the completion. And as I explained to it today on our show, True Living, it was like that moment where everybody's saying, I can't wait to see God's face, so he can say, servant, well done. It was that moment where he was telling you, servant, well done. You were getting that way before you had to take your last breath, way before transitioned on to glory, way before any of that. It was God's way of saying, servant, well done. You know, it has been easy, but you've continued to get up. You continue to move forward. You continue to press through and not be depressed. You understand what I'm saying? I was just floored. I was floored. As soon as he started talking, the tears got to going. By the time it was done, I was crying like a little baby. Me and Jackson was just going in. It was a wrap.
And it's funny because when I got back to the table, you know, you were holding him and he was just bawling. And I was and I had to go back in my mind as quickly as I could, thinking, what did I say? Because I don't remember much of anything. I remember the Holy Spirit reminded me to have them stand, because
that was beautiful.
There's so often as parents that we overlook our kids, where we'll take an accolade or we'll take one on the chin and the kids are never seen. But I had to make sure that they knew that I saw them. And no matter what we did or we went through, in fact, I told Caden this as we were walking around taking pictures towards, you know, after you had left. I was like, son, I couldn't have done any of this without you guys. So, I mean, I can't win a Father of the Year award without a child.
That, you ain't no father.
Exactly. You know, so you can't get any accolade for doing something right if the children that you're trying to lead aren't following. And if you aren't living a life that somebody thinks worth following your lead, you can't do anything. So, Cheryl, we're going to take a quick break. I hate breaks, but we're going to take them. We're going to pay bills. We're going to honor those people who are following us and supporting us through our ministry. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why are you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't all the time.
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show, and good Saturday morning to you again. And you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. We are part of the Parker J. Cole family of products. And on the phone with me, we've got Shell T. Shell T, I know you still out there, girl, right?
Huh?
So I know I know you're still out there, right?
Yes, yes, I'm still here. Absolutely.
I know. See, those of you listening, I know this is a Saturday, you know, 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern, but you know, we are actually doing this a late night Saturday, Friday night deal, kind of coming in and kind of figure out where we are. So we're a little loopy. It's because we've had a long, had a long night. Because Shell, you flew in from the Bay.
Long night.
Yeah, because you flew down, and you late start, landed, took the shuttle to the from the airport to the hotel, walked in, took the shuttle back to the airport, and flew out.
And flew out. Was there, like, I was like, yeah, this is how these you know, celebrities do things. I'm trying to be a celebrity. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do my thing, I'm going to be in this moment, and then I'm just going to fly out. And I was just like, ooh, that was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot.
But it was so worth it. Oh, my gosh, it was so worth it. I would do it 1,000 times just to have that moment. It was so worth it.
You know, it's fun, and I really appreciate it because you have no idea what that means to me. Because I know, I'm not that guy that does and says a lot, but for people to stop their lives, you know, spend their own money, buy tickets, fly down. And it was no small thing. It wasn't like, $50 to fly from the Bay. And people think, oh, Bay Area tickets are cheap. Well, no, I saw what the face value is for one-way tickets that you bought. And it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And I know it's not about the money, but people, we often miss out on what we can do with friendships and things that we can do with spending of time, being good stewards over money and allowing the Lord to do things in our life. And that meant a lot, especially even to my kids, to see, you know, people there.
That support, that love. And I think for me, because we were sitting at the table and then when we realized people had an opportunity to choose their song, and I asked you what the song was, and then I was like, no, don't tell me because I want to see what the song is going to be. When the song came on my season, I was just like, oh my gosh, that is so absolutely perfect. Because what you're talking about, what people are that did for you that night, you've been doing that for people for the longest. You have been sowing into people. You sowed in to restore me. You sowed into me when I did my DVD release. You sowing, it was that night, that reaping of what you had. I mean, it was just like you sowed in tears, you sowed in, you know, pain, you sowed. And so what you're receiving back is the harvest of what God is, you know, multiplying for you. And I just love the fact that this is your season. So last night was just a the tip of the iceberg of what your season looks like. And I mean, and I just, we've had these conversations before. We've been in the trenches. We've been in the, you know, under the bus. We've been in these places where you feel like this can't be what this was supposed to be. But you look at it now, and all I can think of is this is a restored me moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there were so many things that, oh my gosh, that song was prophecy. It was perfect. It couldn't have gotten any better than that. And I was just like, I'm so glad you didn't tell me before it came on. I'm so glad. I was like, no, wait.
It was funny.
I want to hear it.
The funny thing, too, about that song has been on my heart for probably the better part of 2.5 or 3 years. Because when we're in the depth of the Restore Me song. And people think when they hear and they see my resume and your resume and other people's resume, or they see on Hulu that, hey, we produced a film and a feature. And when people say a feature, yeah, okay, no problem. They can kind of, I think sometimes people can discount you because they may not have ever heard of the film before. And I'm still having people asking me, how did your film do? And my answer to them is a patent answer where the film touched the hearts of the people that the Lord wanted it to touch for the season in which it was running actively. And it's still running actively now, but
Right.
It may not have financially done what we wanted it to do at that season, but it didn't matter about that.
Right.
It has everything to do with the hearts that it touches every time it airs, every time it's rented, every time it's purchased, every time somebody watches it for the 5th, 2nd, 3rd, or 20th time. It's ministry. And that's what it was all about.
Exactly.
It's easy for people to think, oh yeah, you made it, you made a film, you did something. Like, you have no idea what we went through, days on set where we weren't sure where the money was coming from. You know, even after the film was finished and where, you know, you would figure, okay, everything's finished, your film is releasing, we're still paying bills from that thing. It's right. A gift that continues to give 3 years later. But it's not something that we ever go, well, I mean, I know the enemy wants me to think, oh, had you hadn't done it, okay. If we hadn't done that film, we may or may not have been where we were last night.
Right.
And we definitely, we wouldn't have been.
None of us would have.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have been there.
And well, we wouldn't have been
Harry
on the phone.
Wouldn't have been there.
No, and we wouldn't have been on the radio right now because, like you said, I wouldn't have known Harry or Cindy or you, Jay, and none of them.
Right.
And so, in so many ways, Romans 8:28 is so valid.
Say it.
And that was the scripture that I based our family's life on after my wife died. All things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And so we have to understand that the all doesn't apply to just the things that we like, the good things that make us happy, the good things that make us laugh. It's the hurt, it's the pain, it's the death, it's the loss, it's the shunning, it's the depression, it's all of it, including about last night.
Oh, you preaching now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're preaching now. You better stop playing. You better stop playing, Pastor.
Stop it. Because it's funny you say that, because just last Saturday I was at doing sound for a wedding for a young man who's BMH, Bright Media House, BMH Marketing, who's one of our corporate sponsors. And one of the young men, I interviewed him before, Mikey Ramirez, he says to me, and my pastor, you know, John Hansen, was there. It was just the three of us standing there talking. And Mikey says, hey, good morning, Pastor Craig. And I was like, I looked over at Pastor John. I was like, No. See, I don't know what he talking about, you know. But I didn't say anything because I didn't want to have that denying Peter moment. I don't want that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be the one that, oh yeah, by the time you get the clock throws three times, you're gonna deny me. No, I don't want to hear that. I don't want that problem.
Yeah, don't be that guy. Because that's what I saw yesterday too. It was so many pieces of a puzzle that came together. And even with that, like, it was like watching, like, if you had an opportunity to watch Jesus after his baptism and how the Holy Spirit fell down and ascended on him as a dove, like a dove. Let me tell y'all, it's not a dove. Even though it's a symbolizing of it is a bird, it wasn't a dove that flew out the sky.
Right.
For those of you be like, no, it came down. It was a dove. No, like a dove with grace and beauty and magnificence. It came down like a dove. I don't know who needed that. I don't know who that was for.
Amen.
But you've been delivered today. I'm looking for doves to come out the sky.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not what the anointing of the Holy Spirit looks like.
Little tiny little white birds with beady eyes.
Right. I mean, like that. That's the Holy Spirit right there in the cage. No, you can't cage the Holy Spirit. No, I don't know who that's for. Hallelujah. Ah, I feel deliverance taking place right now.
Well, some of us think Jesus is like the pigeons, right? They're all on the ground, all jacked up. But because the funny thing, your word is so prophetic, because a pigeon and a dove actually are very similar in their build, and it's similar in their, I don't want to say walk or delivery, but they're similar. But you don't see you don't see them, a dove walking on the ground picking up through the trash. Doves
right.
are in the, you know, in the trees. They're soaring.
Like,
exactly. Bird, you know, pigeons are like, look, You know,
there's a standard for the dove. The dove has a standard.
Yeah. And I think that's what we all need to have is a standard. We just are so quick to accept the garbage from life. And I have to admit that I've lived that for a while where you just take it. It's like, whatever. I'll take whatever crumb or crap or dirty wrapper off the ground that's been there for 17 years. I'll take that. Whatever.
Yeah, that's true. We have to know what we are, what's for us and what's not for us.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back quickly to that your ministry was born last night. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God is, how he's going to lay it out and put it together. But you literally... last night.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing you say, because I have to be able to, and you have to be able to walk in and accept it. You know what I'm saying? Because when people say ministry, it's like, oh my God, oh, it's this, it's like Lion King, Mufasa, oh, the hyenas are like, say it again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. And that's the way I felt for so long when you use the N word. And not like it's a cuss word. It's just, there's a heaviness with that. There's an enormity in my mind anyway with that. That I have been hesitant. Oh, look, let's make it real. I've been terrified to say, yeah. But you have to walk in. You have to call it. You got to, well, like you say, let's be real. You got to call a spade a spade. So, if that's what this is, obviously, it is what it is.
Amen. It is what it is. Receive it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Receive it and walk in it and watch. Oh, gosh. About last night.
Man, that was. Yeah. So we're going to take a short break in a minute here. I hate breaks, but you know what? I'm learning to love breaks, because I have a feeling that we'll have, the Lord's going to bless us with a lot more sponsors, a lot more people partnering with the ministry. We're going to use the M word. People coming alongside us, getting involved in what we're doing. I'm looking forward to the Lord doing a lot of things with and through us and to us. We were able to, the Lord bless us, to be able to actually buy a membership to the Fathers and Families Coalition of America as Raising Men. So it's not just a single, you know, person membership as me, but no, it was an actual membership. So Raising Men is a member of the Fathers and Families Coalition of America. Mm. But we'll be right back after this very short break, and we'll talk about more about last night.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
Experience uniquely crafted gifts, ranging from fragrant candles to artisan jewelry and more. Be the lucky swagbag winner of curated gifts donated by your community of artisan. I'm Shawnine Whitehead. I'm personally inviting you to experience festive Christmas shopping with friends. Join us every weekend through December 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be at Sears Shopping Center in Temecula Wine Country. To participate as a vendor or musical guest, contact Shawnine at helloamazingmarkets@hotmail.com. Have a Merry Christmas.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show. Hope you're doing well. Saturdays. I gotta love it. Again, we're a recording session today, so you will not be able to call in today to the show. And we apologize for 2 weeks ago for not recording, but we were a little caught up a couple weeks ago and just didn't quite budget well, and a pre-record wasn't in the picture. But we're happy today. We're doing a pre-record, and I'm so thankful to have a great friend of mine, Chell T, on the phone and here with me just laughing and talking about last night.
About last night. This is your girl, Chell T.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I am. You held that in a long time. I was expecting to hear that at the top of the show.
Right? Yes, about last night. Oh, my gosh.
I think the part that did it for me, though, is his introduction. And then when I returned to the table and you and Jackson were crying, that did it for me. I was like, okay, well, I guess it's worth it, right? Everything that we had been through to this point was about last night.
It was about last night. It was a culmination of all the rigmarole, the ups and the downs, all of that. I just was blown away with the whole experience. I mean, it was a beautiful event. The organization put on a beautiful event. And can we talk about that cheesecake? Oh, my gosh. Is this the fat girl section of the show? Oh, my gosh. I kept telling your kids, it's too sweet. I was like, don't be no pot. Don't be no pot.
I was looking
at that cheesecake.
Because you and I were talking about, you know, me not eating my carrots. I thought, well, we're going to pass you the carrots on over. You can pass us the chicken because you don't even eat meat anymore.
I know. I rarely do. Very, very rarely. But that was one of them nights. I was getting out every bit of that experience. We was going to get that. Every bit of that experience.
Well, even with the cheesecake.
To myself, I'm not even going to the vegetarian plate. I'm like, because I know they got one back then.
Oh, yeah.
But it's usually tofu. I said, I don't do tofu anyway. I said, well, we're going to figure it out. Every bit of this experience.
That was funny, because even with the cheesecake, it wasn't that big. So, you know, a lot of places, they give you this big old hunk or slice or just a little tiny little wedge. It was a nice, round, almost like a miniature bundt cake size, but not that big, but it was nice.
It was nice, and it was real cheesecake. Like this was not a game. Like, yeah, this was awesome. Like when the kids sit back and your friend, he was like, yeah, it's rich. He said, I need some milk or something. Yeah, it's rich. I'm gonna get every bit of this cheesecake. Yeah. Took my time and watered that puppy. I sure did.
No, I saw that. I enjoyed it because even the kids eat all their meat. And that's sometimes that's an issue too with parents. When we go out, you know the deal. I think for the kids to help me out, I had taken the kids on a regular, at least once or twice a month, to a sit down restaurant. Now, when I say sit down, that sit down, mm-hmm. folks, ain't rallies or it ain't like Carl's Jr. when you go inside the fast food. That's not a sit down restaurant.
Right.
We're talking about a place that actually gives you a real plate with some metal forks and knives that may already be on the table before you, some cloth napkins, you know, even if they're paper napkins, at least it's something that's already folded. Not like you go get a paper towel off the roll because, you know, it's, trust me, I know that the fast food way to do it, even cooking at home, you make it fast with plastic forks and spoons. But I wanted to take
right,
them.
Right, paper plates.
Yeah, because it's quick, it's easy, it's not so much fuss. But I committed to the kids. I said, look, we need to get to a place where we know what it is to have some home training to be out in public.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Did you never,
that so needs to be an organization for that.
Yeah. Because even when you sit at a place, so those of you who haven't been out, I mean, again, I'm going to trust that a lot of us have been out to swanky restaurants before, whether your place setting's on the table, and it's more than just a singular fork on the left and more than a singular fork knife on the right, and sometimes there's, you know, a fork and a spoon in front of you at the top of the plate, but it's important that your kids and you all know how to eat in a setting like that. So it was some reinforcement of, look, you eat from the outside in. Usually the smaller fork, smaller knife on the outside is the salad fork and knife, and moving into the entree fork and knife, and the spoon and the knife that's on the top of the plate above you is usually for dessert, no matter what the dessert might be, or if it's for butter or whatever, you need some other, you know, condiment that's on the table, that's what you'd use that spoon for. And it's just a matter of reminding the kids of what that was. And, you know, I can't say as a dad that I did a great job in prepping him for that multiple utensil evening, but that was an experience for them that they just weren't super shocked. But that we did struggle on the water glasses, because everybody went to the left for their water when they should have gone to the right. And so we kind of had to. We had to.
Yeah, I don't know that. You're good because that stuff. I'm like, I don't. I just eat. I'd be like, is that? Then, oh, I took your knife. I'm so sorry. That was your knife. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, that was.
So you're gonna have to train me. We're gonna have to do a class so you can train me on how to. I did use the right spoon for my dessert, though. They told me it was the crunchy, and I was like, I don't know, but okay. But you told me I was right. That was my dessert spoon.
Oh no, you got it. You got it. But it's all about the training, because my mom was big into etiquette, yeah. And you know, big into that kind of stuff, and I had to go to some of these crazy balls and be an escort, and you had to do all the stuff with the Knights of the Round Table groups, and you know, I'm saying all those crazy things growing up, but it's all about training. And in my case, it's all about raising men so they understand, so they don't get to those events going, what is this all about? And teaching them how to speak in public and how to reduce the number of ums and uhs, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of what we've been training the kids to do, I'm hoping they're starting to see the need for them, or at least a place to
it's
apply.
It's necessary.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's sad how in this day and age, there's kids that go to a grave, or young men that go to a grave before they've ever put a suit on. You know, it's like, these moments are necessary, and they need to see something other than what's being presented to them on the social media and the different, you know, other, you know, things, the TV, the games, the video games, and things like that. They need to see that, and look what you look like in a tuxedo before prom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These moments where this is not something that's so abnormal to them that they can say that, you know, this is a part of, you know, it's not what I do every day, but it's definitely something I've done some days, you know?
Yeah, and I thought that was what the Lord really wanted me to do, is to put them in tuxedos for that event.
Yeah, and they looked awesome. I got pictures of that, too. I was part of the video. He said, stand up. I turned around, and I got a shot of all of them standing up and in tuxedos. I'm telling you, it was awesome!
It was funny because we were getting measured for tuxedos. It was Evan is one of the ones that really likes to be fashionable. You know, he likes to really be, you know, dressed. If he could, he would be, you know, on GQ magazine every day. If he could find a GQ job or a GQ budget, he would be there. But Ryan started to kind of find some swag of his own, you know, so he was, you know, posing, and I made him all try the suits on before we left, and he had his own.
Right.
You know, grabbing onto the vest with two hands, kind of, you know, mayor-elect kind of pose.
Feeling himself.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just, it was wild, I think, as a father to see that, as a parent to see the kids excited about something like that. So I think, as parents, we probably need to do more and go to more events and become involved in things that are more than just, you know, because I think, for as a parent, for me, I don't even like joining PTA, you know.
But I'm probably going to get back into it. I used to be, when I thought my sentence was up, I went in hard on a little set of kids, and I was president and secretary and treasurer. Well, I don't think I was ever a treasurer, but I went in and was there and was at schools all the time. And when I thought I was done, I literally went to a parent-teacher conference and told them, you know, I'm just giving you guys information because, honestly, I don't have to worry about this anymore. My kids are graduating. I'm done with this. But you guys need to know what, you know, what's going on and what you guys need to do to improve. And then was back at it the very next year. And I was like, I ain't doing nothing. PTA, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't, don't call me. I ain't chaperoning. I ain't doing nothing.
And that's what another parent will think, right? We've got to learn to rest and pace ourselves. And those things I'm learning now. I mean, you're helping me learn that now. We, you know, talk all the time. And when I'm always ranting and raving about how tired I am, you're just like, look, you know, you feel like that Snicker, you know, commercial again. You act like a diva now. Just get something to eat, take a nap. And that's what the Bible talks about. Sometimes when you're tired and you know, you're cranky, not yourself, eat. and rest. Go take a nap somewhere.
And rest.
You know, get yourself some rest. I mean, I think society makes us want to feel as if we need to go, go, go. And if we're not going, 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 something wrong. If we're not doing, 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 there's something wrong. If we're not posting, posting, there's something wrong. Because even all these, you know, social media phenoms, those lifestyles that they're living, in some cases, aren't real. And some of that stuff is footage that they've done, you know, and pre-recorded and done. And some of it's real live action, but it ain't real life. Some of the stuff is manufactured live. Because I just can't believe that life is made up of some of this superficial substance. And that sounds like an oxymoron. How do you have superficial substance? But it's really what it is. If your life is made up of you just running around doing a lipstick commercial, applying eyeliner all day long, or you know, breaking fruit with a sledgehammer, or you're doing what some of these other crazy, you know, content does, where's the real content in your life? Where's the truth? Where's the foundation? Where's the things that you're doing for humanity? Where's the things that we're teaching and training up the next generation to do? Our Gen Z kids believe that all I need to do is get 10,000 followers or more and I can make money from YouTube.
Yes. Well, superstar millionaire.
Exactly. But what are we saying? What is the content saying? Are we pouring into someone else's life with our content or with our words? Are we speaking life to someone, or is it all death? Because we just can't, it can't be in the middle. In fact, I was accused recently of not being, allowing a shades of gray to be in my life. I'm either black or white. And again, it's supposed to be look at your black, so it's easy to pick one way or the other. But this in life, where it's either that your yes be yes or your no be no. You can't stand in the middle. There's no such thing as a yes or a yes or a yo. It's going to be right or wrong. So we have to make sure that whatever we're doing, whatever we're saying, it's according to whatever we believe in. And for me, for my house, we serve the Lord. So that's what we're believing. And I believe we're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back to the Craig Carlisle Show right here on Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drug through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrell. We want to invite you to listen to The Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
And we're back to The Craig Carlisle Show. Again, last segment, last 12 minutes of the day, of our day, then we'll be able to, you know, get prep for the next time because I know we got to get ready for Tuesday's show too. I still need to edit that. Oh, Shell, oh my goodness. Talk to me about, about what you
and
saw.
We have a...
Huh? We got a script to write.
Project.
Oh, you gonna talk about it?
Yes.
Go on, girl. Go on and tell. Go on and tell him.
Oh, I'm so used to like last time when we were there and I was in the room with you. So anyway, we have a project that we're doing right now and we're working on called Everyday Christmas. It is a it's a Christmas story because I don't know if the title gave that away, but it's a Christmas story in regards to a family who deals with loss, and it's about understanding that, you know, even through all the difficulties and the difficult situations, that you got to live life like every day's Christmas because every day's a gift. And so we're in the process of putting the bones together for the script and putting the storyline together, and it's just coming and it's I'm blown away with what God is doing with this project. So you guys keep your eye out for it, your ear out for it, and walk this journey with us to see what God's going to do with this project.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, even writing it with you is a blessing. So I have to thank you, because you could have, with your pedigree and your background, you could have gotten anybody to write with you. But you were excited and insistent upon me being involved. I keep thinking, well, Mike, all right, you know, you one of the writers that restored me. I'd never done this before. You know what I'm saying? But again, it goes back to, you can't disqualify yourself in advance.
Right.
And that's one of the trying to convey. And I think people even ask me, why do you do these shows? Why do you do two different radio shows? And why do you try to do so much? And why do you do? And I'm like, because. Well, for one, I got breath in my lungs. I got to do something.
Yeah.
You know, two, we got to make a necessary difference at the end. You know, and the end ain't, we're not sure where the end's going to be. And, you know, we have to live every day like it's Christmas, because every day is a gift, because that's what we were taught as kids, to be excited and try to live your whole life, whole year in anticipation of Christmas, even though you ask for right. gifts and junk all along the way, freaking every day. So it's really what it is. It's almost an everyday Christmas story, because it's every day our kids want something from us. And it's the same thing with God, right? We want something from God every day. God, right. give me. Like respecting God to Jesus to come out in a red and white gown, like he's a spiritual Santa Claus. But we so often and easily confuse the gifts of cars and houses and jewelry and shoes and junk with what we think Santa Claus Jesus is going to give us, Santa Jesus. But what Father God and Jesus, his son, is giving us is life, breath, health, strength, relationships, family, projects like this to go do, to be a part of, as a gift. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's so important for us to understand and realize that as long as we're breathing, we got something to do. We have work to do. And like you said, and when we rest, we need to rest in God. You know, when we take that opportunity to disconnect, because even Jesus had to disconnect from the crowds and from the people and separate himself and just do time with God to be restored and be replenished, and so he could continue on with the journey and the task that he was given, the assignment that was placed before him. But, you know, you're right, we can't just not be.
Yeah.
And whatever B is for you, be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be that.
And it's funny, because you started off the show when you talk about restored me. And it's so easy to, it's so easy for me to go, yeah, but that's a different storyline. But the truth is, it is for every one of us. Because that's a story about right. a young man who, yeah, he went to prison for something, a crime he didn't commit. But when you really apply that to our daily lives, there's always something in our lives that we didn't do that we're going to be held accountable right. for. We didn't follow Christ. We weren't obedient. We were not as vocal as we needed to be. We were not whatever. Or stuff that we even did. And we're going to always be looking for the Lord to restore us to what he would have us to be. Because even when the right. character Julio spent the years in jail, whether it been one day, 3 years, or eight, as in our story, some people are doing 20 to life in prison and coming out. But it's the same time we're caught and set away from where we really want to be, in a place where we don't want to live, ostracized away from situations of life that are just optimal for us. And we're just having to deal with the negative. But when we're finally set free and finally start turning our life over to God and turning our mind over and our will over to God, then he can do something with our life. And then you begin to see that restored me. You can begin to be the restored me. And so it's more than just a movie. It restored me is a lifestyle.
It's a life. Ugh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
a lifestyle. It's a choice too.
It's a choice. It's a choice. Because
it's a choice.
I was frustrated. This is still about last night, because I guess I was frustrated earlier in the week, and I was listening to some speakers. I was, you know, blessed to be, you know, go to the conference for the Fathers and Families Coalition of America. I've been listening to some other speakers. We had a couple programs at our church, and just some other people I've been able to do sound for another ministry, you know, last 4 weeks or so in a row. And I've been able to hear and witness other people tell their story. And I'm a member of a men's group outside of church, and hear that man who's the founder of that group tell his story. And you know what's frustrating to me was there's so often so many guys, because that's, you know, it was a men's thing, in lower show than men, have had so many rock bottom moments where they've been to jail, they've been drug addicts from in and out of rehab, trying to do all these things to be restored from. And I'm thinking, God, why does it take a rock bottom moment before we actually turn it around and follow? Why can't we just get it right from the jump? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Because if we got it right from the jump, and not necessarily everybody has to get down to the rock bottom to get it, but, you know, in a lot of cases, sometimes you need to know that the only way for you to get up is to look up.
I guess I was frustrated because growing up, I used to think I didn't have a testimony. Because I didn't think I'd ever been through anything. I didn't have one of those stories where the Lord had delivered me from drugs and alcohol or an abusive relationship, you know, not having been, thankfully, you know, raped or molested or, you know, beaten or abused. You know, my parents did spank me, so I can't count that as abuse. But, you know, I don't have one of those stories. And for years, I kept thinking, well, maybe that was a precursor and a qualification to have a testimony. You had to have come through something like that. But it took a mentor of mine in college, Rita Bryant, to remind me that that's a testimony in itself.
That's a testimony in itself that you didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even with the script we're writing, our characters seem like they're coming from that lifestyle where we haven't written in their backgrounds yet. But for those of you that are out there, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with your life if you come from some trouble, got into some trouble, or if you're not in any trouble. But it's so much easier for the world to glorify the ones that have come from trouble, because you come from what seems to be impossible circumstances. But if you come from a circumstance right now where you've not done anything, you're trying to live a good life, you're trying to do right, even if it looks like you're doing nothing and staying, you know, on your side of the sidewalk, you know, to use a Kelly Clarkson phrase, the Lord loves you too for staying out of trouble. Like that's really, I wanted people to understand, even with the life I'm trying to teach my kids. I don't want my kids to have to have gone through all of that. The wheel is still round. You don't need to reinvent it. You don't need anybody going out creating it. How to live. Solomon lived. He was the wisest man in the world, according to biblical standards, and lived through all of these extraneous things, or he went through a bunch of things that he'd been through because he lived a wild life. But in our society, sometimes we seem to honor those that lived a wild life. There's no reason why we've got to give so much honor due to those who've lived extravagantly wild and poor. And then all of a sudden at the end, you're right. Singers and songwriters spend a whole lot of time, you know, shaking that thing, wearing a cross, cussing and having a, you know, a God moment on stage to thank you, Jesus, for this award when I just cussed you out in the parking lot and was all drugged out on my way in. But yet at the end of the career, they want to come and sing gospel because the rest of the world don't want them at that point. But we don't have to have that. God is original. No. He was the original gangster, you know, turning over tables in the temple.
Right.
I mean,
that real OG.
I mean, got into, you know, he was with, what, Peter, and he took his sword and cut the ear off the Roman soldier in a little skirmish. All right, we're not having none of that. Took the dude's ear up off the ground, put it back on the dude's ear, his side of his head.
Right.
And healed
it. Like, bruh, do you know what I could do? This is not what this is about.
Exactly. And that is so the lifestyle that I'm trying to at least help people like me with, right? Because I don't have that story, Cheryl, that I don't come from a bad side of the street. I don't have that penitentiary moment. I don't have that, you know, my dad's been in jail. I'm sorry. I don't have that. So I'm not trying to pretend like I do.
Right.
I can listen and talk to a person who does, who has had it, no problem. We can still, you know, rock together. But if you're looking for someone who hasn't had it, you're wondering, okay, I need a role model for somebody who hasn't done that. You don't have to do that to be that. You can do a life of God in Christ and be straight up and down without having to choose to get off the road. But yeah. I don't know. That's just my platform today. Running around acting crazy.
And that's real. I don't know who needed that.
Yeah. Well, maybe my kids needed it because they sit there doing some crazy stuff right now, getting ready for bed, getting ready for volleyball tournaments in the morning. You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show. Man, I love it. Cheryl, I appreciate you for always, you know, supporting us, being down for the cause, being where we need to be all at the same time. For those of you who are listening, thank you for supporting the show. We're out here every Saturday. Well, almost every Saturday. We missed one. 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio, a part of the Parker J. Cole family of entertainment. Thank you very much. See you guys next week. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out The Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancy Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.